You're listening to the Business and Life Podcast, where 7 days a week, proven entrepreneurs share their success stories, failures, and give you true value on how you can build a great business and an awesome life with your host, Mike Olivas.
What's happening, guys? Today, we're chatting with Dmitry Dragilev. He's actually a guy who founded JustReachOut.io. It's an awesome platform and very powerful. It lets entrepreneurs pitch journalists all on their own without using pricey PR firms. All right, Dmitry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Clay, thanks for taking the time. So tell our listeners something interesting about yourself and also where you're calling from.
Calling in from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Just moved here from New York City. Something interesting, like business-wise or just like...
How about you?
Just about me?
Yeah.
I'm addicted to sardines. I love sardines, man. Not anchovies, but sardines.
Yeah. My dad loves
them. Right out of the can, man. Yep, like exactly. Olive oil, just all in.
Do you put anything on them? Like, do you put hot sauce on them or just go straight fishy?
No, straight fishy, baby. Oh, like, man, right on. Wild. And then you get like a cracker and just like,
Yeah. My dad does. He rocks the crackers on them. I think he puts a little hot sauce on them, but I like your style, man.
All right, I'll have to try that.
You just go straight at it. I like it. So, is that since you've been a kid or something, or what happened with that?
You know, when I started like doing CrossFit, I needed a little protein. I just was sick and tired of doing like, the shakes and the cost money and all that stuff. And I was like, this thing has like 20 grams of protein. Let me hit it up, see like how that works. And
it's
just such a great source of protein. So I was like, I got to get into it. And then I got into it.
You really got into it. You opened up that can and got into it. I like it, man. So give us something or maybe a little bit about your company, the name of the company, what it brings to the marketplace.
Yeah, Just Reach Out. It helps entrepreneurs pitch journalists without the help of PR firms. So all on your own. And get featured in press, of course.
So it helps entrepreneurs pitch journalists
and get featured in press all on their own.
Oh, okay. And it's a website. Is it a platform?
It's a platform, software platform. Helps you do that all on your own. Just kind of disrupting that whole space. No longer do you have to like hire a PR firm or consultant. Just do it yourself.
And how time intensive is it?
It's 30 minutes a day, 30 to 45 minutes a day. I usually say most of our customers spend, I track it, pretty closely. And, it's like low hanging fruit, man. Like it's journalists who are submitting stuff. Like yesterday, there's a guy from New York Times. It's like, what's the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur? He needed an answer in 24 hours. So we had four customers submit those answers and three of them got in. And so they're going to be in this article about the toughest things about being an entrepreneur on New York Times. And had they not known that, they would never have even had a chance to be in New York Times. You know, it's being on the dial at the right time to really, build that relationship and answer a query.
Okay. Is the platform for journalists or for entrepreneurs, just to be clear?
Entrepreneurs.
Okay, great. And so if an entrepreneur has 30 to 45 minutes a day to, is it responding to inquiries?
Yeah, mainly responding, but we have a lot of other tools out there. So this is one tool. We have five of them. Okay. So they don't have to just respond. This is the first thing I would say they should do. There's other tools like you can pitch journalists based on what they've written already. And that's if you have a story. And that's like a whole other can of beans. We have like a course in there that teaches you how to create a story and what to pitch journalists and why. It's great.
Awesome. So, I mean, really from the traditional PR standpoint, we know how costly that can get without, and every PR firm is different, but no one's going to guarantee you any kind of ROI. Cause we get it, right? It's just kind of that process of how can you get your name out there? We have, we have mediums like me in the podcast world and others that kind of get their names out there in different ways for different reasons, hopefully to monetize and or just to spread the good word, which I've been doing for the past several, this episode would be months and months of 7 day per week episodes. But for entrepreneurs out there listening, who would be a good fit for something like your website?
So we have 5,000 customers. So I can, we've been around for 6 years. You know, so I know pretty well a typical cornucopia of a customer. So
yeah,
a customer usually needs to have a content marketer on the team. That's number one. So if the person doesn't have a content marketer on the team, they're usually not a good fit for our platform.
Good.
Why a content marketer? Because they know how to create content that resonates with journalists. And they have a blog usually, and that kind of dictates those things. And then another aspect is if you have a content marketer, you have time to dedicate and commit to 45 minutes a day. And that's another one. Time is a big issue. You know, we're all busy. We don't want to hire a PR firm. It's like, hey, are we actually going to commit and do this? And are we going to pay a tax if we don't do it, right? So you're in the, you know, commitment for 6 months to use a software tool to pitch. And you got to put in your time in order to get those mentions, to get press. And yeah, a lot of people don't commit. But those are two main things. I'd say, like, you know, a team of like 10 people is typically what a customer, like our customers, 10, 20. I mean, we have HubSpot as a customer 5 years now. And yeah. Matt Barbie and the team. But that's an outlier. Like, typically, it's smaller teams that just need publicity. 10 people, 20 people, yeah, the content marketer who's committed, that type of thing, yeah.
Now, are they on, so you mentioned like HubSpot, that's a business, right? So are the businesses or the entrepreneurs trying to pitch themselves? Do you feel like are they a little bit of both? Obviously, they're going to come in hand to hand when the time comes if an article.
HubSpot is just doing it through backlinks.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's SEO all purposes. They're doing. Yeah. So we have like a whole backlink tool that finds broken links, for example, based on topic. So like you type in like entrepreneurship 2019 and it'll find all the broken links starting Google page one and allows you to do outreach based on a keyword. So it's very easy to kind of get those links going. HubSpot is a little bit of an outline because they're such a big company and we've partnered up with them and everything. But majority of our companies, it's entrepreneurs that are like, you know, there's a water filter company or you got like, you know, e-commerce companies or you got people that have a software business or even musicians, bloggers, and they just need a little, you know, like relationship building with press. And
that makes sense. Absolutely. What is and I like following up these questions because a lot of, I think the PR and PR world and or what we're discussing is a little bit foreign to some of the entrepreneurs out there, especially if they're growing a business, starting a business. Maybe they're not there yet. Like you mentioned, it needs to have some. What is a content manager for our listeners? What does a content manager do specifically for their team?
Well, it's, you know, you build that cool app. You have that awesome bag, whatever you're selling, that e-commerce product, right? Yeah. And now you need like amazing
sardines,
right? You're raising sardines, the best sardines ever. You need that amazing content that's going to connect with a journalist. Like, think of it like journalists are not just going to look at your product and cover it right away. Like, they need stuff to read to inspire them because there's so many people knocking down their door every single day, 300, right? 300 emails a day, typically, a journalist receives. And so a content marketer is crafty enough to create amazing content, whether it's for your site, for your blog, for your pitches that you're sending, or all three of those, to entice the interest of those journalists and bloggers. And the best way to do it is to just hire them internally, to have somebody on your team who's just responsible for content. And, you know, if you want to get sophisticated, advanced, these are the people that are creating content that ranks really high on Google for you and pulls in organic traffic, but it doesn't have to be that advanced. So the very basic level, they're just creating content for your site, for your blog, for your pitches, so that you're successful at telling your story. And you might think as an entrepreneur, you're like, I know how to tell my story. You know, I'm the entrepreneur. Not quite. Like you don't have the time and you don't have the skills to create something out of, you know, what you have. You can tell it, but it won't be in a way where a journalist might actually recognize a headline.
Right.
You kind of have to pre-write the story for the journalist. You got to
do
all that work. That's content marketer, content manager.
Tell us some time during the beginning. Give us some time where you kind of felt you were close to hitting rock bottom, whether with this business or just in the process of your entrepreneurship, and you were able to kind of overcome that.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a company called Polar Polls, and we got acquired by Google, and I built that company with a few friends. And, Jerry Yang gave us some money. It was a polling app. And so what I did is I married those polls with all these news publications, and it started growing 40 million page views per month on it at the time when we got acquired. And I really wanted to create this app that I run now, the software platform for PR. And I didn't have money. I didn't have time or anything like that. And when the acquisition was going through, the deal was like, listen, you sign on for 4 years, you know, you got to stay on and yeah. do this thing. And I was like, dude, like, and I'm about to have my first kid. I was like, I can't, like, this is not my life's dream, but financially it makes sense. And so I just said no. And I walked away way before like the negotiations even started. So I didn't take any of the credit for a lot of the work I did. And I wrote this case study, and I wrote this big case study on how I did it. And it kind of backfired. Like, people didn't like that I wrote that because I walked away from the team and everything. And I was trying to start my own app, and it just wasn't more like, I have a computer science degree. So I was trying to like code it up, but A, I had no money. I'd walked away from this acquisition. B, like, people were a little like not angry at me, but just weren't very warm with me because I had walked away and I wrote this article about how I did PR for them. And just see, like, I just they had no skills on building the business, building the site, doing the design. I could code it up, and I was trying to charge people right away, and I had a baby coming, and I had to earn money, and I was like just struggling. Like, yeah. I had to get a consulting gig. Sure. And yeah, it was one of the toughest decisions I've had made, you know, like go the solo route 6 years ago.
Life Nation, we're all striving towards different goals. Maybe your goal is to finally quit the 8-to-5 grind, quit your job, or take the next step with your existing business. Whatever the goal may be, regardless of your reasons, if you are serious about taking the next step and finally trying to build the life that you deserve, the life that you want to live, take the leap of faith. Go to michaellevis.com and let's discuss your goals and life. It's 100% free. There's no obligation. It's MikeOlivas.com. Schedule a quick call. I'd love to help.
I'd love to chat about a little bit about that. You obviously had a very, very big reason and a very big strength towards, or kind of heartfelt why of what you wanted to do. Plus you had, the kid on the way, and you still walked away. Was it because you just felt that passionate about doing something on your own?
It just felt wrong. Like, I had the gut feeling that I'm selling out. Like, I'm selling out for money and comfort. And that's what every entrepreneur wants at the end of this thing. It's like, I want fame. I want money. But like, I didn't think, like, it just felt wrong. Like, we built this app and it was us together, and I helped, I was the only marketer and I made it possible and I deserved the exit. But it's like, for the next 4 years, I would have been like 2014 to whatever, 2018, just a robot. So it felt really wrong. And I was like, I got to follow my gut instinct, even though it's going to be way tougher and depressing and lonely. Like, it's an extremely lonely route, right? Yep. I just had like, and I just kept falling down afterwards. Like, I'm one of my best friends said, I'll help you out with coding. And then he like messed everything up. And I just, like, for years, I was struggling after that to get it up and running, you know.
Well, good for you. I mean, good for you for doing it and actually making the decision that you felt was right, not because you thought it was just the, the financially right thing to do, but morally you felt a little bit more like, hey, plus, yeah, you're going to be a slave to the man for a while. That's what we all try to get out of. But for 4 years, the way the acquisition was, obviously, it sounds like was written up that you're going to be working for them for 4 years as the transition happens. And that's a lot of work. Plus a lot of those kind of acquisitions, this is just not necessarily your deal, but a lot of people that are listening have to understand that, being acquired could also come with a boss for several years, and also can come with the lack of that freedom that you've built out. So a lot of times entrepreneurs out there that do sell come back and will have conversations with me and others and clients that I've had from a coaching standpoint that I help out, and realize that, wow, like, now what do I do? And it's kind of like, listen, I don't play that much golf, right? And I don't want, like, it's like I'd rather keep busy and keep my mind going. And in reality, yes, everybody wants the exit, but for what? What are you going to do? And I think that's important for our listeners to understand from your story, which I think is awesome, because you took, you didn't take the high road, you took more of the what you thought was the right road. And there's a big difference between what's popular and what's right in terms of people's hearts, you know. And that's really awesome that you did that, man. I want to give you props for that, because people don't do that, right? So that's very cool. Yeah, absolutely. Demetrius, so tell us a little bit about why you think businesses out there, or like entrepreneurs, why do you think there's entrepreneurs out there that just fail or lose the fire?
In general, just with their
business? Just in general, yeah.
I think it's a lot of it is... it's a very lonely game. So a lot of times you'll start something up, you're excited about it, and then you take it to a level where you either need to raise money or you need to, you know, basically scale it way faster, bootstrap it to hire a team of people, or you have to merge and get acquired or do something with it, right? Like, say, or raise even more money once you raise a little bit. And so at that crossroad, you have to persevere and figure that out. Like, you just can't not figure it out. Otherwise, it'll die. And that's the time when I see entrepreneurs really struggle with it. They take it to a level where it's like, it's floating. It's got some cash. Like, you can take some money out of it, but it's nothing like it's hockey sticking. And now they got to either, like, raise money, which is insanely brutal, and they kind of fall down, or they need to scale it to a level where it's acceptable.
Yeah.
And that's one. And the other one is, I've seen it where they take on investors and they don't realize that their incentives don't line up with the investor's incentive. Investor needs to get their money back so they can pay their LPs, and they have a certain return they have to make in 10 years to get their LPs paid off. And you, with your $1 million, $2 million invested, even if you exit at 10 million, isn't going to give them a 300 million return or 500 million return. So you're just this little peapod in their bag. And so you don't get the attention that all the other boys get that have been, you know, like much bigger growth, right? And so you might say, yeah, look at me, you know, I need help. But you know, you're just this tiny little person. They don't care about you. And so I've seen a lot of people that raise a little bit of money fall into that. But people who are bootstrapping, you know, with the first thing that I said, they are trying to figure out, and they might not want to raise money. They don't know how to continuously bootstrap it, and they're kind of like stuck. So yeah. I've seen in both of those ends. Right. People, Rand Fishkin, the Lost and Founder, the book, he describes this scenario really well, where you raise money and you're like, kind of like this little guy, our investors don't help us, we can't scale it, they're unhappy. And that's like a ongoing circle.
Yeah, no, you're right. If it was up to you, and let's say you did it all over again, raise money or bootstrap?
I'd bootstrap, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'd bootstrap. Yeah. I'm just not lined up with investor expectations. Yeah. Like, I don't want to scale it to whatever, like 10x in 3 to 10 years. Like, I'm not there.
Yeah, you can be patient. I think if you can be patient and bootstrap it, do it. I bootstrapped everything that I've had in my businesses, and I think the current one, while I'm, you know, doing a 7-day-a-week podcast and running a multi-million-dollar business, yes, does it take a ton of time and effort? Yes, but I think there's something, there's a pride factor for me to not, I never raised debt, right? And I think it's okay to raise debt because that's still your business. But mm-hmm. people that have done the raising of funds that we know is a full-time job and is really freaking brutal.
Yeah.
You have to understand that you're bringing on money and personalities and egos and people that, you know, you got to find out where you're getting that money from. And if you have to do it because you are that big tech business that might need to scale and have a lot of code and extremely intricate and complex type of processes and strategies behind it, yeah, maybe you need some money. If you can raise debt, go out there and get an SBA loan or find a way to do it. If you can just do it and bootstrap it, I agree. Definitely do it yourself. And you're going to learn so much that you realize after year 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 10, you start to get it. You start to understand the scalability and the process of it and how to do it and how to multiply it. But I'm with you on the bootstrapping one, man. So
Yeah, all the way, all the way.
Not the sardines, but I'm with you on the bootstrapping.
Your dad is, though.
My pops is on it. You're right. Yeah. What are you excited about right now in terms of your industry and the business that you're in?
Well, it's just so screwed up, the industry of PR. Like, somebody has to come along and help the entrepreneurs, right? There's like nobody out there. Like Muckrack, they're helping like PR professionals, right? Cision, Meltwater, these are huge companies helping PR professionals. Like, there's nobody helping like just the entrepreneur to just do PR all on their own. And entrepreneurs are paying 10 grand, 15 grand a month to these PR firms. And so like, I'm very excited in helping more people. Like, I have a course that does really well, multi-million dollar course. Like I have the software and I have my blog, and I'm just teaching people how to do PR all on their own. And if they like leave us, that's fine. Like I always, my departing letter is like, I'm happy you've tried us and now you know a little bit more about how to build relationships on your own. If you ever have a question, email me and I'll help you out, even if you're not a customer. I've done that to most people. People need to know that PR is a thing they can do. Nobody else holds keys to these journalists. Like, it's just an archaic old notion.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited on making sure everybody knows that and knows how to do it, how to build relationships, how to start those things. And I think it'll change, you know, eventually PR firms are going to start, you know, like transitioning to only huge brands and smaller guys and brands should be doing it themselves internally. You know?
That's awesome. I think you're doing creating a really cool platform for a lot of entrepreneurs out there that can't either afford to do it the way that it should be done or the way that it can be done without that kind of price tag to it, bottom line. And that's what you've created, which is awesome. For our parting question here, out of all your successes and failures in your business, what is the one piece of parting advice that you'd give to entrepreneurs currently starting and or building their business?
Yeah. So I think if you've never had if you were never going to make any money from your business, from any idea that you're working on, if you knew that already, like somebody told you right now, and hey, you know, you're not going to get any money out of this thing. It's just not going to be a huge money generator. Would you still do it, right? Or not? And that's the question I always ask yourself. Because if you're in it for the money, for that money aspect, you're probably going to just disappoint yourself. Like, this is not worth pursuing long term. So ask yourself, if you're not going to get any money out of this thing, would you still do it? And you need to have a passion for it, of course. But that's like a deciding factor. A lot of times I tell entrepreneurs, like, hey, why are you doing this? Like, I know that you want to solve the problem, but like, really, like, if there's no money involved at all, would you still be doing this? And if the answer is yes, then yeah, you know.
That's a great question to ask yourself out there, listeners. Dimitri, where can they find you? What's your
website? It's justreachout.io, justreachout.io, and all the contact info is there.
Okay.
My personal blog is linked up from the footer there as well.
Perfect. We'll make sure that we tell our listeners to take a look at that. We'll pop all that website information, your name in the show notes so they can find you on LinkedIn and all that kind of jazz. And in the meantime, I appreciate all your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Life Nation, you got to remember that in order for things to change, you must change. And in order for things to get better, you must get better. You just got better by hanging out with me, Michael Liebes, and the Business and Life Nation. So come back tomorrow because I'm here dropping sound bombs 7 days a week, baby. If you'd like to subscribe, please do so you can take action and execute. See you tomorrow.